Yeah, April 1st, 8:31. Item number one is called order, which is what I just did. Item number two is approval of the minutes for the March 4, 2024 meeting.
Move for approval, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
All right, we've got a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Ayes have it. Public comments? If anybody has any public comments, we ask you to step up to the podium. We'll give you a couple minutes. Seeing none, we'll move on. Item number four is employee recognition. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir. Melody Lane, if you would come forward, please. Melody is our business license official, and she also has been awarded the MBL. So we want to talk about that a minute. The South Carolina Business License Official Association, they sponsor this Master's in Business Licensing designation. And to receive it, you first have to get the accreditation in business license, which does take 3 years and test. And then upon that, there's additional requirements, and then they confer upon you the master's in business license. So that gives her an MBL, and she, I have to tell you, she's top notch as our business license official. She's done a fantastic job. She's gotten us through the state accreditation, and she got us through the state Standardization Act, which was pretty massive. And during all that, because she is a bit of an overachiever, she also has earned her MBA. We want to thank her. So as you know, as our top tax person, here's your ATM bank. And then we also want to bestow, as the Scarecrow got his license, so did you. Thank you, and thank you for doing all that.
That's a lot.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you for all you do. All right. Item number five is the budget review for year 2025.
Yes, sir. So here's where we're going to, in the Finance Committee, catch some of the items that aren't specific to any department, but are overall. And we're going to start with the general fund revenues. We touched on these at a high level at the presentation Mr. DeMora made of his proposed budget. So it begins in your, if you, I don't know if you have your budget document, it begins on page 7 behind the revenue tab, and you can see line by line. The first section is property and other taxes. And they're proposed at $51 million, or 3.4% above the current year. And that's going to be your property taxes and your sales taxes.
Sorry.
From there, we go down to licenses and permits. And please stop me if you have any specific questions. In the licensing permits, you'll see that we have our business license. You just saw our excellent collector. Melody's office actually collects about a third of our revenue coming through there. And again, she does a fantastic job. We also have public utility licenses, which has gone up. Again, that's where our franchise fees for Dominion and Mount Pleasant Waterworks are, they come through. And then the insurance licenses is the other big one that's up. And that again is because 2% of gross premiums are the portion of the license that comes through the municipal association and then to the town.
So in some ways, that's a bad thing because that means people's insurance premiums are going up.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir. I will tell you on the fire insurance, 1% of that does come back to support our local fire department.
That's good. Okay, yeah.
Again, it's a good thing, but also is indicative of the increase in the insurance.
Okay.
Before you go on, could I ask a question, Mr. Chapman?
On the fire service, we were talking about the amount of effort we put in for assisted living and businesses like that. Is there some way we can recoup some of that? Are we doing more to recoup that?
Yes, sir. So, again, I'm going to go back to Melody. What she brought forward in the ordinance, it did increase that fee. We did get information from the fire department. We actually got detailed information of where the calls were. And there was such a disproportionate amount for assisted living facilities, they were increased and they're incorporated into this budget. And to make sure that they were aware of this, we individually sent a updated ordinance to every one of them, anyone else impacted, and we sent out multiple emails to let everyone know. And they gave them a couple months to plan for the increase in the business license fee.
Yeah, so that's where it is. It's in the business licensing part, and that makes sense because they're operating a business, but that business is costing us more than others, and certainly our fire department does a great job of responding, but that there's also a cost to that. So thank you for doing that.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
On the next page, we get into state and federal grants. We do just anticipate, we put an amount there, and then as the grants come in, we will recognize them, and if they're more than $100,000, we do bring them back to the Finance Committee. Intergovernmental, you'll see the top one is the local government fund that comes through the state, and that's our current estimate of what we the town should receive. And then on the next page, page 9, charges for services. In this budget, there are 4 proposed fee increases. There is the fee for Alhambra Hall. There is planning, building and development, and then we also have recreation. Recreation, planning, and building development, for the majority, their fees are reflected in this section here. You'll see it's anticipated to go up 11.2%, and that does incorporate those proposed fee increases. Further down on the page at the bottom, that's where Alhambra Hall is. What will happen is Alhambra Hall closes July 1st for 1 year, and so for this fiscal year, we're only anticipating deposits. The deposit amounts are not proposed to change, so we've taken off any events and just have those deposits reflected. So overall, before you consider any use of fund balance or transfer ins from special revenues,
bless you.
Have $102 million fund, which is up 5.9%. And then with the transfers in, use of fund balance, we're pretty much even to our current year's amended budget.
Okay, thank you very much. Committee, any questions?
Yes. I was curious if we can go back to page 7. I noticed there's a line item for short-term rentals with a 90% increase in anticipated funds. I was curious if you could describe that situation a little bit more.
So sometimes the budget falls a little bit behind. So there had been an increase on short-term rental permit fees, and this is now we're catching up to what we will receive this year will be more based on that increase. And so that's why it looks like in the budget that it's an increase, but it's just recognizing what happened in the last year.
Okay.
Thank you, ma'am.
I have a question, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Howie.
On page 9, with the South Carolina State Ports Authority, which is, I presume, a tax-exempt entity, I see we're only increasing the change of 2.5%. Are we making up other fees from the Port Authority? Because our response is critical to State Ports Authority, and I know we're doing things to ratchet that up. How are we collecting on that?
Yes, sir. Excellent question. Thank you. The amount that the Ports Authority contributed for services offered by the town of Mount Pleasant was steady for a long time. We entered into negotiations a year or two ago about that amount. And they, I forget the total amount, but they close to doubled what they were offering and included an escalator in the agreement. So the escalator is the 2.5% annual, which is what you see there. We provide fire services, to the department, I mean, to the Ports Authority, and other specialties related to hazardous material response and other things. We agreed upon that amount. I think it's reflective of their support of us. You know, at some point, while they're a different entity, they're not annexed into the town of Mount Pleasant, we do provide the support to them to protect our citizens and to protect individuals there at the port. There's only so far we can go and ask for it. I mean, they always have the option at some point. They have a police chief, you know, a force. They always have the option of standing up their own type fire department. So we negotiated for some time and feel that the amount that has been agreed upon is fair and reflective of the services we provide.
Okay. Well, now isn't their headquarters now in the town of Mount Pleasant?
Yes, sir.
Well, that's what I thought. Now that their headquarters is here,
it
certainly wouldn't hurt to do whatever we have to do. I know our fire department is, again, ratcheting up to do more for them. And with all of the hazardous materials, et cetera, that they have coming in and out, it's certainly good to see that we're looking at that.
No question. Along these same lines, if you're okay, Mr. Chairman, if we're discussing entities that are consuming services and paying not enough or too little or nothing at all, Marcy and I at some point in the future would like to have a broader discussion on some larger entities in town that are not-for-profit that consume considerable services in terms of police and fire support. And here the Port Authority is offering up a fairly sizable amount, but there are other entities just as big who are not.
Right.
And we'd love to discuss further with you next steps on perhaps how to claw back some compensation so the burden of providing those services doesn't just fall on citizens and taxpayers.
It's good to have those businesses here that can hire our citizens closer, but it's also an impact on the whole town.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know just from experience, whenever we load Class 1 explosives, fire department has to be down there. They have restrictions on what you have to do. You have to have your fire hose on the ship, out on the dock, and water coming out of it. You've got to have somebody up on the bridge, put your hand on the horn in case there's an emergency. So there's a lot of things that they have to do, and our fire department makes sure all that stuff is done so that it's safe. Yeah. All right.
Okay, I'm just, I touched briefly on these, but these are the four fee increases that are incorporated. We have a Humber Hall, and then we have recreation. Planning and building we'll touch a little later, but for here, here's a Humber Hall. We did bring these in March to the Finance Committee, and you can see that the non-resident rate is twice the proposed resident rate. So we have that.
What page is this on?
This is, it's incorporated in the revenues, and this is specific. So what will happen is I'm showing here again, and then we will also have a public hearing on these fees and bring it back to town council again. It's not a specific line item in the budget. It's incorporated under, in the case of Humber Hall, it's the rental rates, but again, it's only for the next year, the deposits. So you'll get this exact information in a public notice that will go out. For a public hearing, we'll also show it again at town council.
Okay. I think this one, Mr. Chapman, I think we discussed it during our last finance meeting.
Did. I thought we did something, but that was simply a recommendation. It's going to have to be done by full council. So I do recall that.
Gotcha.
I also wanted to touch the recreation fees are exactly as they were presented last month. These, again, are the 70-30. Some have been increased in 2016. Some haven't been increased since 2009. The tennis So there's three areas, senior center, aquatics, and the tennis. So since we're just kind of capturing all the revenues, these are part of the general fund. The other revenues that I capture here are what go into the capital fund. So in the capital fund, you can see this breaks down how we support our capital fund. We have hospitality and local accommodations. So in a jurisdiction that brings in more than $900,000, it can be used to support police and fire and public services. So of these special revenues, we do bring some into the general fund. We also use it sometimes to pay our debt service. And then the majority goes to our capital, whether it's a capital improvement project or comprehensive maintenance project. And that's how it's used. The intergovernmental revenue, that's where you're going to see grants. This budget does recognize the award of the Safe Streets and Roads for All. So that's part of that intergovernmental. This overall capital fund is based on last year's adopted is about $20 million. And part of that is these grants that we have been awarded. Also, there's additional funding from CHATS for our Billy Swales Boulevard. Yes. And that's also incorporated. So that's where you're seeing it in the intergovernmental. We have charges for services. Charges for services is our stormwater fee that comes a little bit, does support the state revolving fund loan. The rest is supporting stormwater projects. So are there any questions on the revenues, mostly special, or transfer in from the general fund that support our capital asset fund?
My only question is, Mr. Chairman, the hospitality and local accommodations taxes, what was the change in state law that allowed us to use local accommodations taxes for more than we used to be able to?
They did add a seventh category that is available until 2030, and that is to use it for to help with, as you said, attainable housing. Mm-hmm. It does require a housing impact analysis, which we have not yet performed. But so we now have seven categories, no additional funds besides the normal growth, but we do have another opportunity to use it in another way.
But the reason I ask that is later on in our agendas, we're going to have discussion about an attainable housing project. And one of the issues that we talked about during the budget meeting was improvements to town roads to help with the impact of that. And can we now use that some of those local accommodations taxes for that work at Stockdale that we are going to be doing for that attainable housing? Is that something we can do?
I do not believe in that when you read it, it's basically a sentence or two. I don't believe that that would qualify, that it's more targeted directly at attainable housing.
Well, I understand that, but didn't you just say we can now use accommodations taxes for attainable housing and in order to, I guess, show that we're doing more for attainable housing and to accommodate the need, but also the impact of that attainable housing, maybe we can get a opinion, if you will, because I would certainly think that's kind of the intent, to help us move forward with attainable housing. And in order to do that, we've got to make improvements to our infrastructure.
I see the extension that you're mentioning. I have not looked at it from that perspective. We'll go back to the law and look at it again, because I see where you're going, and if those funds can be utilized to help bring down the cost of a supportive project, then that is something we should offer up to you for consideration.
And to expedite.
Mm-hmm.
To expedite it.
Sure.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Good.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
Ms. Kutoff, I have a question on the
special assessments under the revenue, I'm noticing, you know, it's dropping from around 10 million to 1.4 million. Could you describe what that entails?
Yes, sir. So that, for the special assessments, any that projects that are not currently completed or begun, that money all rolled over. So if you were to look at special assessments last year, it was closer to the 1.7. So it really is, it seems like it's a larger drop, but it's because of projects that we have not yet completed or weren't completed as of June 30th.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
All right, so now we're gonna move into operating budgets on the expenditure side. So the general government expenditures, begins, it's under the general government tab on page 11. So this budget combines the executive office and the finance and corporate services. So together we're the general government. And so what you see here is we start off, and you'll see this repeated through every operating budget on the expenditure side. We begin with the compensation. So throughout every department's budget, we do have the compensation that is pay for performance, as Mr. DeMora said, and it runs 4 to 6%. So you may see it not exactly at 5% on average across each department. For instance, in police, we have additional positions, or in some cases, if there's been turnover or changes, reclassifications or restructuring, then you would not see the perfect 5%, but we can talk about any that you have questions. Also, you'll see that the pension is here. The state pension, I'm going to call it a reform act that they did, required municipalities to pick up additional 1% every year. That this is the first year we don't have that mandatory 1% increase, which is very good and helpful for governments. The other piece is the health insurance. Throughout the budget is about a 2.5% increase in health insurance that goes over to fund our health insurance fund. It's on the employer side. We are not proposing any increase in employee premiums.
To pause right there for a second, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
And so that's a 2.5% increase to our health insurance. Mr. DeMora, do you recall the percentage that the state health plan is increasing this year?
Very good question. It was double digits. I don't recall the exact number, but it was more substantial than what we're recommending, sir.
Thank you.
So the general government budget overall is 1.2% less than the current year. It does not include any new positions. It does have some money placed in executive office under HR to begin to do those annual or biannual market analysis. And so the funding is located there. And there is some adjustment between just reallocation between accounts to for the business and tourism fund to kind of delineate which one is for which purposes. And that's kind of on the operating side. For general, yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, Ms. Chapman.
Ms. Kosoff, I thought we were adding 2 personnel for police. Was that not correct?
That is correct, sir. So when Chief Arnold speaks about the police budget with right. Mr. DeMora, you will actually see more than a 5% increase in the salary line for his specific budget.
Well, the only reason I brought that up, you said we weren't adding any new positions.
Right.
And I'm not criticizing that. I think it's a great idea. And I know one of the reasons we're doing that deals with transportation. So I'm fine with it. I just didn't want that to get out that
right.
We weren't doing any.
I think this bullet you will see in every department. So at the department level,
right.
We're not adding any positions except in the police department. So broadly, townwide, only 2 positions.
Right.
But each department, we just reiterate that it does not include additional positions.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So in the capital asset fund, the general government doesn't have any CIP projects for this year. There is money set aside For wind vulnerability, there was a wind load analysis recently performed. I think the final came out in January or February. So as we begin to look at that analysis and address it, we did set money aside. In the capital fund, there's the typical technology replacement plan for our computers and MDTs for the public safety. And then the cost for our fleet maintenance and the vehicle replacement. And under debt, we'll talk a little bit more about the vehicle replacement. So that is general government.
Thank you, ma'am.
I also pick up non-departmental. So there's a tab in your book, non-departmental. And under non-departmental, it begins on page 42. This is those accounts that kind of cross every department without being specific to any individual. And what we have is there is an increase. This budget is proposed, this department, at $11 million. It's an increase of 2.3%. It does include funding. And on this, I should say on page 43, you see a little bit more detail. It looks a little different. But under employee merit, that's kind of where we capture our vacation sellback, different incentives we have. You'll also see that for succession planning, we are planning that very heavily this year. And there is money for anything that comes out of the market analysis to support it in this account here. And with compensation increasing, just the cost of vacation sellback does also increase. So that gives you a little more insight. Property and workers' compensation is up. One of the pieces on that is we recently had them, our insurance, come and walk our property, and it tends to, when they reevaluate, it tends to automatically increase to make sure you have sufficient coverage. And so that's why that seems a little high on that one. We also, streetlights, we also are adding more pedestrian streetlights at the Patriots Point area, around 30 more. So between everything else, that's where you're going to see that increase in streetlights. For the police department, we're right now working with their body camera and vehicle car camera system WatchGuard. We are having issues with Motorola having purchased it and needs us to change. So we have put aside some money in a reserve here so we can begin addressing to make sure that they have all the equipment that they need.
Mr. Chapman.
Mr. Chairman, going back to the streetlights, on the new road, Bon Ed Key, are we going to be placing streetlights? Including them in that street?
Yes, sir. I know its relationship with our new park impacts the light. It's very dark out there.
Yeah.
It's probably where you're going with it. And I don't know the timing right now of additional lighting on the roadway, but it's planned in with some other traffic improvements in the area.
Okay. I just had somebody ask me about that, and I went out and looked, and it is dark.
Yes.
So if we've got plans to do it one way or another, whether it's with the park that we're designing right now or separate, either way, we are planning to put streetlights up.
Correct.
Yeah. Great. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I noticed the affordable housing fees. What is that? That's page 42.
Right.
It looks like it's going from a budgeted 100,000 this year down to 20,000 for
yes.
next year.
So I'm sorry, it took me a minute. So in the town's impact fee ordinance, we do set aside funding for anyone that has is putting in attainable housing or affordable housing. If they meet certain criteria, this helps cover some of the cost that they would normally have incurred because of impact fees. So it's part of our impact fees. It sets money aside. If they qualify, then we would offset some of their cost.
Okay. Then also, I noticed on the same page, just a couple line items below, the cultural arts reserve, which is money that's earmarked for an art center. I noticed that there's $500,000 budgeted this current year, and then $200,000 proposed for next year. My question is, what happens to that $500,000 if we don't spend it this fiscal year? Is that something that's rolled over for future use on the Art Center, or does it vanish?
Normally it vanishes. No, it actually does. But in this case, because it is a town council project, it would roll over. The $500,000 is made up of two parts. $200,000 of it is ongoing money that is potentially for a lease. $300,000 is one-time money that was transferred in, I believe, from state accommodations for any potential upfit. It was one-time money left with state accommodations. We put it in there. But because it is a town project, in this case, both amounts would roll over. The $200,000 again for next year is, again, ongoing money for the potential of the lease.
Gotcha. And are we going to be covering the donations to outside agencies?
Yes, section? Sir.
Okay.
So the last piece of the non-departmental budget is community investments. It is on page 44. Town Council has a policy on community investments that kind of give us the criteria in which these are ranked. Once they're ranked, we do then allocate $100,000 out until we don't have it anymore. For any organization that has received in the past, we do limit the increase so that they don't take all the money, that it is still, we cover as many as we can within that allocation. So these, you can see who applied, and you can see how much was requested, and then how far we got down before the $100,000. We send the documents out December 1st each year. They're due back February 1st each year. At the same time, State Accommodations also sends out for nonprofits to request funding at the same time. So there are two avenues in which organizations can request funding.
And Mr. Chairman, if you don't mind, this question comes up just about every year. It should also be noted that the allocation for the Charleston Animal Society, the Coastal Chaplaincy, and Wake Up Carolina sit or reside in the police department budget. So that's why you won't see them in this list.
The State Guard does reside within the state accommodation budget. So you'll also see that one in there.
Thank you,
ma'am. I guess there's more than just two avenues.
Yeah.
And do they,
go ahead, Jeremy.
Do they provide us with, some kind of documentation of what this money goes towards?
They do, and they're required to submit their financials at the end of the year. So we request on the front end, they have to send a request for the money, and then they would not receive an additional allocation if they haven't presented to us their financials from the prior year.
In light of the $280,000 going to the Charleston Animal Society, how does the $15,000 to pet helpers fit into the equation? Is that a separate type of activity that it funds, or is it just another organization that does something similar to what the Animal Society does?
Yes, it is another organization similar to the Animal Society that also requests and also gets funding, or has in the past couple of years. Next, the debt fund. So we're going to leave the general fund and we're going to go to the debt fund. The debt fund is a tab. It does begin on page 95. So there are three main revenues in the debt fund. You have millage that comes in based on our debt mills. Our debt mills are 8.6, and so we have that millage coming in. We also will transfer special revenues to support certain debt. And then we do, the debt mills are not quite sufficient to cover all our GO, and it covers our lease purchase. So we also transfer in general fund to support the overall budget to make sure we have sufficient. We do have 5 general obligation bonds, 1 state revolving fund loan, 4 existing lease purchases, and then I'm going to be providing information in two items about a proposed general obligation bond and why we're requesting that. State accommodations tax is another separate fund. It does have a criteria on how the money's used, so that's why we keep it in a separate fund. It does support various different pieces. Per state code, some of the funds do go to the CVB. It supports some of our events that bring people in for tourism. And then it also supports capital fund projects. This budget also will be reviewed by ATAC, and they will also make a recommendation. So at the end of each meeting, we'll request a recommendation back to the budget committee. The budget committee will take all the recommendations and then send a recommendation up to town council. Incorporated in those recommendations will be ATAC for this fund. Okay, so if y'all are good with some of the details, or if you have any more questions, otherwise what we have is we have a discussion on two of the fees, planning and building and development. They will have a public hearing, but they also are associated with ordinances. So at another level, you're also gonna, we're gonna request at town council that you review the ordinances for those, and that we also get approval at that level. So just to talk high level about it, no changes to these. These were also presented at the March Finance Committee, and you can see the different pieces. And then these are all the planning ones. Again, like I said, we haven't made any changes in this. And then we flip over to building and development fees. This is for the residential and commercial permits. And then again, for the other areas. And these also have been many years since they have been adjusted. So we're kind of doing a holistic review of these. You will get ordinances for these as well. Okay, moving along. Now, general obligations. So I also presented why each year we do a lease purchase. We have fire apparatus that have lead times of 4 years. And so we can't wait the time. We'd like to go ahead and purchase three engines. One is a heavy rescue, two are your traditional engines. Again, public services, the items. So in the current year at $2.2 million, we have not done a lease purchase. We went out in August, September timeframe. The interest rates were extremely high, and all but one were non-responsive to what our needs were. So we decided not to award a contract for lease purchase. So since we discussed going out for GEO, we'd like to roll that in, get better interest rates. So what you will get is you will get an ordinance. The ordinance will allow us to go out to the market or to do a bank placed. It's more, it's lighter. It does an RFP. You don't get as many responses. We did have really good luck our last one. We had 17 respondents. Like I said, our money is very good. We just got reaffirmed for our AAA rating through Moody's. So depending, we're every month, we're monitoring what the rates are. So we'd like to go ahead and have this approved and be prepared to go out for this. We think it's a better deal for the town and will also allow us to get some of our fire engines.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
Can you describe the, it looks like the police department is ordering 14 vehicles on there. It looks like they're hybrid vehicles. Could you describe those a little bit more?
Yes, sir. These are police interceptor. They are the Explorer, the police, but this, they're specially made and they have certain things that really work for the police department. We do try to always go hybrid. We try to bring any vehicle that's a pickup down to the lowest needed, and because our idea is to keep them on the roads longer. Total in the budget is 25 replacement plans, but 14 would be purchased as part of this. We kind of split it between cash and what's GO. Every year we have a standard amount we pay with cash, but we want to pick up the rest with the GO.
And these are sort of SUV size vehicles?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. I know, you know, driving around all day in a sedan is probably not the most comfortable way to ride. So I think a lot of officers would appreciate having the SUV style vehicles.
Yes, sir.
And Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, the hybrid requirement is strategic. It's costing a little bit more money, but as you very well know, how vulnerable we are to natural events, and these days it could be man-made events. And so the hybrid just gives us a little extra serviceability if there's any disruption to petroleum movements. And so we have to roll. That's how we serve our community. And the hybrids give us a little extra range. And so we made that investment.
Good.
The last item under the budget is a resolution, and we'll just ask at the end for recommendations on all these. And for this is when we go out for borrowing, IRS requires that we issue and spend the money or issue it within 60 days. So you borrow the money, you look back, and anything 60 days that's been on order, you can go ahead and reimburse yourselves. Well, we don't know that we will do this in 60 days. So every year is a precaution. We go ahead and do a resolution that says our intent, regardless, when we borrow, is to reimburse ourselves for any items. This allows us also in July to get those fire trucks on order without worrying about when we actually borrow the money. So this resolution would be part of our packet. Cool. All right, so those are the budget items that I cover. From here on out, each department will cover in detail their items, both operating and capital. Any questions on what is before you?
I think you did a really good job. I appreciate that.
I would make committee. I would make a recommendation that we forward to town council approval of the financing of town as proposed by the finance department.
Okay.
So is that the resolution with intent to reimburse, or is that just a general endorsement?
It's the whole presentation.
That was gotcha.
Second.
All right, we've got a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Ayes have it. Excellent job.
Thank you.
For sure. We really appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Eric. Same here.
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate all that. All right, guys. Item number 9 is adjourned. We are adjourned.